Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
It's the SNL Hall of Fame podcast with Chief Conversationalist Bill Kenny, featuring Matt Ardill, with special guest Andrew Haynes, and now curator of the hall, your host JD.
Hey, it's JD here. Thanks a lot, Kirk Lane. It has been an absolute week here at the SNL Hall of Fame. I have been mopping my tushy off and shoveling snow here at the SNL Hall of Fame. So please make sure to not only wipe your feet, but take off your shoes and put on a pair of these flip-flops that we have waiting by the door for you. In just your size. The SNL Hall of Fame podcast is a weekly affair where each episode we take a deep dive into the career of a former cast member, host, musical guest, or writer, and add them to the ballot for your consideration. Once the nominations have been announced, we turn to you, the listener, to help decide who will be enshrined for perpetuity inside the hall. And that's how we play the game. It's just that simple. Now listen, we've got a new email address and I haven't heard from you. Maybe it's because it's too long and it sucks, or maybe because you just don't want to write us, but maybe it's because you don't know. So I'm going to tell you, it's thesnlhalloffame@gmail.com. That's thesnlhalloffame@gmail.com. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know if you're subscribed to the YouTube channel. We will be doing the roundtable live this year. Woo! Let's be excited about today's show. We have a first-timer on the show, I believe. It's Andrew Haynes, and he is a member of the SNN Superfans organization, represented by the SNN Superfans Local 312. And, yeah. Let's go and visit our friend Matt Ardill. I'm going to walk on down the hallway to where the walls meet at a perpendicular angle, forming a corner. And it's not a perpendicular angle, I suppose. It's a 90-degree angle. But the lines meet on a perpendicular. Trust me. Just trust me on this. Where our friend Matt is standing by. Matt, how are you doing?
I am good, JD. Thanks. How about you? How are you?
You know, I don't know that I've been much better than I am right at this exact second. Awesome. Ooh, that was good.
Good.
Yeah. So today, you're going to spill the beans on Mr. Subliminal himself, yeah. Kevin Nealon.
Yeah, a big presence around the set. Kevin Nealon, yeah, 6'4", born November 18th, 1953, in St. Louis, Missouri. He attended Sacred Heart University, where he gained a BA in marketing before going on to continue courses at Fairfield University, where he played quarterback for their football team. Another one of the yet another SNL cast member who's big into sports. He started his career in comedy at the Improv Club in LA, not on stage, but as a bartender, working for some time behind the bar before getting to go up on stage. He worked doing stand-up for 6 years, and then got a big break on Carson in 1984.
Wow. It's 100 years ago.
It's wild how far back that it's now.
People don't know, but from now to 1984 is the same time as 1984 to when dinosaurs roamed the earth. Yeah. People don't know that. People don't know that. It gives you context. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Now he went on to become a regular on Letterman, and then accumulated 99 acting roles, 8 writing roles, 6 producer roles, on shows ranging from Mike Tyson's Mysteries, Crank Yankers, Comedy Bang Bang, and Weeds, not to mention the Larry Sanders Show with his friend Barry Chandling. He is a vegetarian and an animal rights activist, and was one of the famous people to have his phone wiretapped by a private investigator hired and then subsequently arrested for illegally phone tapping celebrities who worked with PETA. And I think this is the biggest piece of trivia, that he is tied with Chevy and Randy Quaid for the tallest cast members in SNL.
That's very fitting. That's very fitting. They're all 6'4".
They're all 6'4". Yeah. Jeez, I would have thought there were some people I'd have thought were taller than them, but no, apparently the three of them are the three tallest cast members of SNL.
That's interesting, because I would have thought, oh my gosh, what's his name? Lenny. He played Lenny, and then he played his brother, Michael McKean.
Yeah.
I would have thought he was pretty tall too, but I guess not.
Yeah, I mean, maybe 6'3", but not quite. Yeah.
Well, should we go down to Bill Kenny and listen to the conversation that he is going to have with Andrew Haynes?
Yeah, that sounds like a blast.
Let's do it.
Thank you, JD and Matt. Welcome to the conversation. I'm very excited to be here. My name is Bill. I'm the chief conversationalist here. And we have a really great nominee to talk about tonight. One of my cast from my second golden era. And I had to bring in someone who really understands that era. One of my fellow superfans. We've been podding for 5 years together. A lot of superfan takeovers. I'm thrilled for Andrew Haynes to join me for the very first time on the SNL Hall of Fame. Haynes, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome, man. Thank you so much for having me on. It's obviously a fantastic podcast, and I've been so out of the loop lately talking about SNL. We talked earlier, I got married in November, so that was a big thing, but I've had a honeymoon in December, and obviously with holidays and stuff, just had a lot going on. Honeymoon was awesome. We went all over Europe, Paris and Switzerland and all the German Christmas markets and Amsterdam and England. And it was just a wild time. But I'm ready to get back into the groove, get back into my SNL groove, and talk some great late night live comedy.
Yeah, Haynes, your voice has been missed, and we do plugs at the top of the show here, so you did mention that you haven't been on very much, but what's going on over at the SNN? Can you tell us what's happening as we head towards SNL 50? Crazy to think.
Man, I mean, obviously, this has been a season that we've all been waiting for a really long time, so, I think our coverage, you know, as especially as we've grown in this format, has only gotten better and better. I feel like we're kind of peaking with this season. So John's always got a ton of stuff, exciting new things lined up. And I don't want to give away any secrets. I'll let him do the real plugs.
Very good. Well, yeah, your voice has been missed, and I've missed being on with you. We've done probably a couple dozen shows together, so really excited to talk to you about this guy. So for those of the listeners that may not know your story, kind of give a rundown of your origin story with SNL.
So I grew up in a household where I was not allowed to watch SNL when I was young, which is, you know, pretty common, but it was just kind of always in the background. My dad and uncle in particular were really big SNL fans, and I would hear them acting like two wild and crazy guys and all sorts of stuff that that was not really appropriate for me at the time. I think my uncle did a pretty good Julia Child that was, you know, based on some SNL sketches. And when I was in seventh grade, I moved to Raleigh. That's where I am right now. And at the time, Comedy Central, basically, like, we would get off the bus. And at the time, Comedy Central was playing SNL reruns every afternoon. And it was always the ones from, like, just a couple of years before. So it was all the ones from the early 90s. So this is 1997. I didn't say that. So seventh grade was 97 for me. Easy to remember my years, you know, ninth grade, 99, first grade, 91. So easy to remember. 1997. They were doing a ton of, you know, SNL reruns after school. Also, it was all sketch comedy. They were doing Upright Citizens Brigade, right. You know, with Amy Poehler and Kids in the Hall. And so it was just all this great sketch comedy was on. Basically, when I got off the bus and had nothing to do, my mom worked a little bit later. So I kind of fell in love with Saturday Night Live, you know, hanging out at the buddy's house after school in the late 90s. So getting a huge taste of Kevin Nealon with those reruns in 1997, seeing a lot of Kevin Nealon on Weekend Update, you know, and in sketches. And that is really when I fell in love with SNL. And then, you know, as I got crafty enough to stay up late or maybe crashing at a friend's house and we get to turn it on, you know, I really fell in love with that late 90s era, you know, SNL. So, you know, Will Ferrell and you know, Maya Rudolph, but Chris Kattan and Sherry O'Terry. I mean, they were really inspirational to me as a spastic young kid trying to make folks laugh in class. So that's kind of my origin story. And, you know, and then once I got to grow up, you know, I got to talk to my dad and uncles and people who had been watching it a lot longer than me.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, you're younger than I am, and I started much earlier than you, but I think our superfan origin story is very similar because I had the same experience. There wasn't a lot of places to watch reruns of SNL until Comedy Central just kind of went balls to the wall and had it on like 8 hours a day. And that was where I got to rerun a lot of the stuff. And it sounds very similar to what you're talking about. And yeah, so as I said, like Kevin Nealon is, it's one of those guys. He's an interesting case because he joins the show in season 12. He's been a stand-up for a long time. He's bartending at the Improv out in L.A. And getting sets in. And they revamped the show in Lauren's second year back at SNL in 1986 because 85 was so disastrous. And so they bring in these huge heavy hitters as we get to know them, like Dana Carvey, Phil Hartman, Jan Hooks. Mm-hmm. And here's Kevin Nealon. He's kind of under the radar, and that's kind of the way his whole career goes, right? But he's very instrumental to the show for these 9 years that he's on. So what's your initial impressions of Kevin? Anything that really sticks out?
Well, I mean, I loved Kevin Nealon right off the bat. Okay, so like I said, I'm watching reruns, so I'm seeing you know, him doing a lot of Weekend Update stuff, and I loved, you know, first of all, he's one of the most clearly enunciating cast members we've probably ever had. I see him kind of in that facet, you know, kind of similar to like the second Dan Aykroyd kind of guy, you know, just a person who is just speaking so crisply and clearly. And I think, you know, it's easy to think of him as the Weekend Update anchor, you know, because he did that for maybe 4 years or something. But he really was a very good sketch actor. I think his timing was just always so sharp. I don't know if they changed, if they did like less edits on cue cards back then or something, but I feel like he's just one of those people who never missed, and it was always just clean and crisp. And I just love that dry and very subtle type of humor. It was actually, I mean, it was a big influence to me, and I think it was an influence. I think it, you have to say it was influence on culture. I mean, there's just the way comedy changes over time. Like right now, I think people are like so into Tim Robinson, and not just like SNL people, but like all the young kids.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not on TikTok and stuff, but when I interact even with like younger folks, just fans of comedy, we're doing kind of a Tim Robinson thing right now. Like it's a way that people make jokes at parties and stuff. There was a time when people were just very kind of nuanced and subtle and kind of undercutting, but very, you know, kind of razor sharp in their roasting. And I feel like that was a time that was influenced by Kevin Nealon and those years at SNL. I really think so.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're talking about him having a unique voice. That's really key to what happens here. And there's a lot of catchphrases in the 80s and the 90s, and some of them work better than others. But, you know, going back and watching a lot of his stuff over the last few weeks, I kind of put him right behind Dana and Lovitz as far as catchphrases that I was going to school and saying were coming from Kevin Nealon. As we get into some of his sketches in a bit, like he had so many lines, and they were subtle. They weren't, you know, the liar. They weren't church chat. Mm-hmm. It was much more of a nuanced thing with him, but just as important for sure.
Absolutely.
So as we get in, let's start talking about some of his sketches. Where would you like to start as far as some of the highlights that Kevin brought us?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, I would say that his great. Well, listen, obviously, Hans and Franz is just such a massive hit, you know, and it did. That sketch actually got me in trouble, you know, when I was a senior in high school. And we were trying to, the oldest boy and the oldest girl in the church had to go up at Christmas and like basically like write a sermon. And so I was supposed to deliver the sermon, and my priest wanted to meet with me beforehand. And I was like writing this story about two little German boys, and I named them Hans and Franz. And he was like, he was not having, and I thought it was going to slip under the radar that I'd be able to make a few jokes, and he was not having it. And I forgot that, you know, by senior year in high school, I had grown out of this shirt. But as I said, I jumped on the SNL train in about seventh grade. And when I was in eighth grade, my parents brought me back an SNL shirt from the, you know, from the one of the 10 NBC stores at 30 Rock. So I forgot that I probably used to wear that shirt, you know, to youth group and stuff when I was younger, because he called me out on it and was not having it. And I don't remember what I ended up naming the kids, but I remember that he didn't like the joke. And this is just we're just writing it. You know, I wasn't doing it in front of the church yet. I don't know why he's taking it so seriously. but anyway, Hans and Franz, obviously major, you know, probably the most memorable sketch. He's obviously a duo with Dana. And, you know, we just think about how, you know, you talked about catchphrases. I mean, that's the catchphrase.
All right. I am Hans.
And I am Franz. And we just want to pop you off.
You know, it's just a time when, you know, Arnold was big. So we were making fun of Arnold. And I didn't realize until, you know, very recently, actually, I was listening to Kevin Nealon on Conan Needs a Friend.
Yes.
And Conan apparently wrote with them a Hans and Franz movie that never got made. I would love to just have a taste of that. Just a little taste of that.
Yeah, that was amazing when they went on Conan and did some of the lines from that. It's, you think about all the movies they made in the 90s of SNL and how that one didn't get made, like when It's Pat is getting made.
Yeah,
it's crazy. No, I mean, they did this 21 times, which, you know, we've talked in season 50 about them bringing back something too quickly, like bringing Domingo back and, you know, bringing back Lisa from Temecula last year so quickly. They were doing this constantly. They just knew they had a hit. And I think it's one of those that really doesn't matter how many times they did it, it was still funny. Maybe that's my 13-year-old brain working, but like they didn't really change it up much either, right? I mean, it was basically beat for beat, other than bringing in somebody like Arnold once in a while, or bringing in Phil as the flabby man.
Well, if it's, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And,
right.
And Lauren has a pretty good, you know, eye and ear for, you know, for what people like to enjoy. So, yeah, I mean, you know, right. You run that play till they can stop it.
That's right. Yeah, keep running that ball. But yeah, it's crazy to think about how long that was. But, and as you said, there's catchphrases galore between Girly Man and Pump You Up and Hear Me Now, Believe Me Later. So it's just full of everything that we want from classic SNL. And he makes a great partner with Dana, right? I mean, we see him in a couple other things that he's able to do.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you remember this one, Two Sammies. Like, they only did this a couple of times.
I don't remember. I remember the name. Like, I remember hearing someone talk to me about Two Sammies, probably on SNN or something.
Yeah, so they were these two guys, both named Sammy, hence the name. And they would just sit in the basement, and, you know, there was these two losers, you know, watching sports on TV in the basement, and they kept talking about all their big dreams and things, and they'd be like, you know, one of these days I'm going to go out and become a scientist. Who am I kidding? I'm never going to go do that. And they it was another piece with Dana that really kind of worked. They didn't do it very much, as I said, I think only twice, but it's just another one of those things in his early years that we got to see a lot of. So where would you like to go next? There's so many choices here.
Listen, I'll tell you my favorite character, and this is obviously very well known, you know, character, but when we talk about catchphrase, well, I mean, there's not really a catchphrase here, but when we talk about, you know, the stuff that you're talking about at school the next day and making jokes on the bus, I mean, Mr. Subliminal was genius. Absolutely genius.
Thank you, Dennis. Haircut. You know, there's so many important newsworthy events in today's world, but what's making headlines? Donald and Ivana Trump, greedy pigs. I mean, what's the big deal? The Trumps are just two normal people with normal problems, therapy. Donald's a confused man who should evoke our sympathy and understanding, cheating bastard, and Ivana.
Yeah, did this a lot, and I can remember watching this. So this appears in his very first episode, season 12, episode 1.
Right, yep.
And this episode is just one of those all-time classic episodes. We've got a lot of different stuff. Dana shines. Jan has a moment to shine. I can remember seeing the credits and not really understanding what a featured player meant, you know, featuring Kevin Nealon. Does that mean he's only going to be on a little bit? And within half an hour, we see him doing this. And for those that don't remember, you know, kind of lay it out for them, Haynes. What did they?
Basically, he is having a conversation and slipping in subliminal messages in a very fast way. Listen, so this is why I say, you know, he's kind of similar to Dan Aykroyd with that crisp, clean delivery. Like, so, you know, Michael Longfellow, obviously very kind of subtle and dry, but, and this is not talking smack about Michael Longfellow, who I love, but I don't think he could do this character. He just has to be so fast. It's so fast the way the lines are delivered, you know? And so, you know, he'll be meeting a girl at the bar, like, it's nice to meet you, my place, and where are you from, you know, and he slips in. So basically he's laying out this subliminal messaging for however he wants, you know, a situation to go. I think they even did a commercial. Yeah, they did. He did a commercial for Miller Lite or something, where he was basically like doing those types of making that type of argument as Mr. Subliminal. And so basically he just slips in words to subliminally brainwash you. And it's very funny. And he did it when he came back on SNL a few years later when Jimmy Fallon was hosting. And he's going, oh, man, I really love this cast, overrated. And it's just so nice to be back. And, you know, and so it's that kind of stuff. For those who don't know, go out and YouTube some clips. They're awesome.
Yeah, most of them are still out there. He did it 8 times when he was on the show. He did it in 3 sketches, and it's one of those rare ones like Stefan where it went into Weekend Update, too. So he did it in both places. They'd bring it out. I think they did it during the Iraq War too, just to have him, you know, because he couldn't talk about what was happening in the war, so he'd kind of subliminally. But yeah, that first one is such a classic moment when he's talking to Victoria and, you know, hot sex. Yeah. maybe I'll call you. Don't count on it.
it's just, you know, these, and I'm telling you, they're just absolutely killer performances, you know, the sketches and when he's performing on Weekend Update, it's like I don't think I ever heard a Mr. Subliminal bomb. Like, no. The audience laughs at every single line, and that's what I live for. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of value in a slow build to a big bang at the end, but like, I'm just a sucker for like crap comedy. Just laugh, just feed it to me, you know.
Yeah.
And these Mr. Subliminal bits are just peak that for me.
Yeah, and we'll stay at Weekend Update, his pre-hosting Weekend Update, for a little bit here, because I would argue that, I mean, if he's not Mount Rushmore of Weekend Update correspondents, he's damn close. Mm-hmm. Because not only does he have these subliminal pieces, but something that stuck out to me going back and watching was News from 10 Feet Away. Do you remember this one where he's standing in the audience? And Dennis Miller's the host of a Weekend Update at this point, and he cuts to him and he's like, "Kevin, what's the feeling out there? There seems to be a crowd gathering, and they seem to be anticipating laughter, but they're ready to laugh, but there's a sense of frustration."
And now I'm beginning to get a sense of resentment, Dennis. Almost as if something that was supposed to be entertaining or funny had turned out to be quite the opposite. People seem to be fidgeting. I see some sad faces and some frowns. Now I'm sensing a mood of frustration from the people here, as if they are watching something that has gone on far too long. A feeling of agreement, of time being wasted, a feeling of when will this end? Put us out of our misery as you would a crippled horse on a racetrack. All this just 10 feet away, Dennis.
Well, thank you, Kevin. That's great. We'll be checking back.
And it's one of those things where we don't really see this a lot on SNL, right? I think Sarah did it a couple years ago where mm-hmm. we have a correspondent out in the audience, out away from the desk. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really fascinating to see what he did with that.
That was super cool. And you do kind of wish that they would be more creative with Weekend Updates sometimes. I mean, I guess if it was something new every week, then it wouldn't feel special. But like, right. I loved, you know, just popping up like the green screen behind Sarah Sherman, like when she did her thing a little while ago. Like, I do like it when they freshen up Weekend Update a little bit. But Kevin Nealon had a really nice. He just worked really well with Dennis Miller too.
Yes.
I think they just worked really well together. And man, you know, I was watching, there was, you know, what was it? Late Night with David Spade or something that was a very short lived
yes.
Program. And he had Dennis Miller, Norm Macdonald. And who else did he have on there? It was just another genius. But I just remember thinking, man, these guys just play so well together.
Yeah, definitely. Is there anything else from his pre-hosting update that sticks out to you? Because I have a couple, but I want to see if you.
Oh, lay them on me.
X-rated movie review.
Thank you. First, Wanda Whips Wall Street, starring Samantha Fox and Veronica Hart. I like the production values. I find myself getting interested in the movie right away, then more interested. Very interested, very interested, then suddenly I lost interest. Next, To Live and Shave in L.A. Trinity Loren and Brittany Bardot, very attractive. Interested right away. Interested, 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 very interested, very interested, then suddenly I lost interest. I left the room with a cassette running, came back in a half hour, got interested again.
he walks in with the four VHS tapes, right?
he's missed those things.
He was interested, very interested, and then he went to sleep.
Yeah.
And then he finally gets to heavy into Jeff, which he was interested, confused. Then went to sleep. I mean, again, it's just one of those things that I don't think a lot of people could pull off, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that is the thing. You're right. It's not, he's not, he provides a lot that a lot of other folks can't pull off. And that's obviously, you know, what makes him special and part of why we're talking about him here today. But, you know, and not just that, you know, I mean, he set a record, you know, being on for 9 years at the time, you know, no one else had done that before. You know, there's a reason that they were keeping him around. And he was just such a standout in so many ways. I mean, obviously we think of him as, you know, he's, like I said, he speaks so crisply that obviously he can play news reporters and those kind of characters really well. But he could be wacky and zany. I think for the most part, it was a little more subtle than that, but he could do it all. And I think that's part of the reason his run extended so long.
Yeah, that's a great point with the 9 years. I mean, this is hard to explain to kids today, right? Like, this is kind of like, what, you know, we're a big sports fan too. So it's kind of like when they're like, well, they set the record for most home runs in the postseason. Like, well, there's 12 rounds now. It's not the same as when there was only the World Series. Yeah. Nobody was staying this long, and maybe he stayed a little bit too long. His last couple years are a little questionable, but that was a record for a long time until Timmy Meadows, and now he's still in 11th place all these years later with all the people who now stay a decade or longer. Keenan,
I know.
That tells you how important he was to the show, and he was the last of the golden era to leave too. So is there any impressions that you want to talk about as far as what Kevin would do?
Listen, he did a lot of impressions. I don't know, what my favorite off the top of my head would be. I feel like he honestly probably did a lot more impressions than he would do with some other casts. If he was in some other casts, he was an okay impressionist, but I don't think he was a great impressionist. I'm kind of an impressions guy, and that's not the way I think of Kevin Nealon. Right. So I don't want to say that as like, you know, I'm not knocking him down for that. Everyone's got their own thing that they do, and what he did was very unique. But I think of him as kind of okay with the impressions.
Yeah, he was the Mikey Day of his day, right? Because Mikey, you know, same kind of concept. They needed this guy. They needed that guy. They don't really have somebody to impersonate him. Dana's doing this over here. Phil's doing this over here. Kind of two important points here with his impressions, although they weren't great. He does the first Al Gore. And he does the first of 10 different people who do Joe Biden in a very famous sketch. Do you remember this sketch?
I don't remember that.
So he did the Clarence Thomas earrings.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't go out with you.
No.
Was she aware that as her boss, you could have her fired?
She must have been.
And she still didn't go out with you. Now, Judge Thomas, there have been charges by Professor Hill that you talked casually with her about graphic scenes in porno movies. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
And did that work? Did it break the ice?
No, Senator, it actually offended her.
And it's all those different senators sitting up there. And
yes,
they're like,
yes, yeah, so absolutely.
What porn movies were you showing, Miss Hill? Probably wouldn't get on the air today, but
I rewatched that sketch, a couple of years ago. It's been a while, but I completely forgot he did the first Biden, which is amazing. How many Biden's who've done at this point,
including his castmate Dana, right?
yeah, of course. I mean, Larry King. I think he did Larry King, and definitely remember Jay Leno.
Yeah,
maybe did a little Jay Leno. So he did a lot of Giuliani was not bad. Giuliani was pretty good.
Even though Farley Giuliani was stealing the show a lot of the time.
Yeah. But Giuliani was okay. Yeah.
You know what, too, I really liked? And I think they're kind of lost to time because I don't know that anybody under the age of 35 would know who these people were. Brent Musburger, which he did a ton of.
Yes.
The NFL Today. And he,
and that's perfect for him. That's
yes.
Perfect.
Yes. Yeah. And his impression was holding his eyes down. That was it. There was no other, there was no makeup. There was no, it was just,
perfect.
This is CBS.
he could do, I mean, his voice was kind of in that Musburger range already. So that was,
yes.
That was an easy transition for him. Yeah. That was good casting.
Yes, good exactly. Casting. And Sam Donaldson, which again, most people wouldn't know, right? But very important White House reporter, was hosting a lot of different shows on ABC at the time as a reporter. And he was pretty good at that one too. Again, kind of a wacky character. It really, there was nothing for him to really have to build on as far as the impression. It was just, you know, Mr. President, just interrupting Dana's George Bush and things like that. But enjoyed that one too.
Yeah.
Okay, so any other characters that you want to talk about or sketches, whatever, wherever you want to go, Haynes?
Let's see, characters.
We're forgetting a big one here. Let's see if you...
Tarzan?
Yes, yeah. I guess that's so that an impression too, right?
I guess. Well, but Tarzan wasn't a real person, so it's like
right.
It's still a character, not an original character, but I think it counts. Right. So, yeah, I mean, you know, and I don't know if you would do Tarzan these days, but definitely he was in, you know, that was so in some interesting sketches there.
They did that 16 times. So another one where.
Wow.
They
really, 16 was. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the one we always see is the holiday ones, right? They still.
They'll throw
that in. But if for those that don't remember, Lovitz is doing Tonto, which is probably more problematic than Tarzan, but
definitely the most problematic.
And then Phil as Frankenstein, and you know, all men of very few words, and
they're
out there kind of just, you know, wishing happy Thanksgiving, happy Christmas, whatever. But yeah, that was always fun. Usually a little less than a minute clip.
I can't believe that they did that 16 times. That's so wild. I do one that I remember kind of liking. I think the idea was better than the actual execution, even though I liked the sketches back in the day. And I have seen some of them more recently, and I remember I don't think they're quite as good as when I liked them when I was younger. But the idea of Mr. No Depth Perception was pretty funny.
Yes.
And they're very slapsticky like sketches, you know, just, you know, obviously smacking into stuff that's too close to you and dropping things that are too far away from where they're supposed to be. Or you know, I think there's one where he's talking. Yeah, he's whispering like at one, or he's not whispering at one end of the table, thinking that folks can't hear him at the other end. And, you know, so it was a fun concept.
We had a thing last summer, but don't tell my wife.
That's right.
Yes. And I mean, this was something in the early 90s, late 80s, where they all had a theme song, right? So he had his own theme song.
And
they're showing like, yeah, you can't pour the
wine.
Oh,
that was a terrible theme song. I remember how clunky it was.
Is it far, far away, or just close by? It all looks the same when seen from the eye of the guy they call Mr. No Depth Perception. He can't explain why to his brain it all looks like a two-dimensional plane. He's Mr. No Depth Perception.
He's Mr. No Depth Perception. It's just so dumb. But.
Like, yeah, they did that a little too much back in the day. But that was a great one. Talks about the boob job that Julia Sweeney had gotten, and
eventually, the
truck comes through the window.
Which that I remember even I think the first time seeing that, to me, it felt like the event was taking place at night. Like, it felt like the scene was set at night.
Yeah.
She's like, the moving truck's here, like, while they're having dinner and guests over. And I'm like, whoa. I thought they just moved in. Hartman said that they moved in, that they were pretty much settled in. Why is the moving truck coming now? But I guess you just had to squeeze it. That might have been a late joke. Well, it couldn't have been a late joke if you needed the truck for it. I don't know, but.
I know. Well, that's our super fan brains working, right,
Haynes? Yeah,
yeah. You're pulling out those strings trying to figure that out. One other one that I want to talk about. Another collaboration with Dana, the elevator fans. So they did this twice. They did it with Sting and they did it with Michael J. Fox. Mm-hmm. And they're playing regular guys who end up in an elevator with a celebrity. And, big fan. And he starts singing, gonna go back in time. And then eventually Dana gets on the elevator and starts singing the Family Ties theme. And it's one of those great moments. And again, these guys work together so much. It's really crazy to think about.
It is. And they just work together. So it is wild. Honestly, I don't think if you asked me, to pair two castmates together, and just knowing their individual personalities, like just seeing them do individual characters by themselves, I don't think I ever would have imagined how well they would work together and obviously write together. But they were perfect.
And they were friends too. And I didn't mention this at the top, Dana got Kevin onto the show. So it's really one of those fun things to think about. John gets Phil onto the show. Dana gets Kevin onto the show. Without those two guys, like, how different is this era? It's kind of crazy to think about, right?
It's crazy. And it's that's my plan to get on SNL, is to have a friend get on SNL. And then just be like, you got to learn about this other guy, because I'll never do it on my own. I'm never going to create that content that good. I'm never going to be out in the clubs enough to get noticed. But if someone else could do all the legwork and just like pull me in, that'd be awesome. And that's a joke, obviously. Kevin Nealon was doing stand up in clubs. He was actually doing the work, but I have heard that story about how Dana kind of called him and was like, oh my gosh, you'll never believe where I am. He'd only been on the show for like a couple weeks, and he's like, I'm in the back bedroom at Lorne Michaels' house,
right?
And, Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd in the kitchen, and they think we need another guy, and I told him about you. And it's like, I mean, imagine getting a phone call like that,
right?
Like,
yeah,
so crazy.
Yeah, I wonder how much that still happens today. I wonder if there's, friends of friends. I think like Sarah knew PDD going in to her getting on the show and things like that. But yeah, that was probably more of a, because there wasn't social media, there wasn't YouTube, there wasn't any place to go watch these people other than the clubs. So, if you were working these clubs and you knew there was a guy who could kill it or a girl who could kill
it,
of course you're going to tell Lauren about it. But
yeah, I would guess. I mean, you make a good point about social media. I would guess it happens less than in previous times. But I mean, just sheer volumetrically, it's possible it happens more since now there's 20 cast members all calling and trying to get their friends on instead of seven. But pretty amazing story. And I remember hearing about how, Bill Hader, the way he landed on the show was he was in a comedy troupe with Nick Offerman's younger brother, I think. And so like Nick Offerman brought Megan Mullally to a show and they were like, oh, this guy Bill Hader's hilarious. Megan Mullally told Lorne, and then all of a sudden, oh, Lorne wants to meet you in L.A. And he's like, OK, I have no material, but sure, I'll come over there and have a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, talent has to be there, but there has to be that little bit of luck too, right? To know somebody or get a foot in the door a lot of the times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why don't we wrap up with talking about kind of his Weekend Update hosting?
Weekend Update with Kevin Nealon.
Good evening, I'm Kevin Nealon, and I'm an alcoholic.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone. Which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
This can be a point of contention for people. It's almost like those sports arguments you have with your friends. I know I had this with one of my best friends all the time, you know, Dennis versus Kevin, and it was such a different energy. So Kevin jumps in at season 17, completely different feel to it. It's much more of a newsman as opposed to, you know, Dennis manic energy. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts as far as his weekend update tenure? Are you a fan of it? Do you think, it's deserving to be considered with some of the greats?
I do think it's deserving to be considered with the greats, even though in some ways it feels like he has less, I don't know if character is the right word for it, but maybe it's like he's doing less of a character. Not to say that Dennis Miller was completely doing a character, but I think anytime a performer is performing, like there's, even when they're themselves, if the cameras are on, you know, you're getting something there's a little bit of character there. And obviously Dennis Miller's thing was, hey, baby, you know, he's got a real thing going on here, you know, like, and he cracked me up and I love that. And he's always talking out of the side of his mouth and making fun of folks and roasting them. I love it. But Kevin Nealon's kind of the way he roasted was a little bit more blunt. He would kind of it was kind of like a switcheroo thing where he sets you up. It almost sounds like it's going to be a positive thing or something reasonable about the news. And then he smacks you with, you know, what makes, you know, something really stupid and funny, and always razor sharp. As far, I do think he's like a brilliant roaster. I would love to see him. I used to watch those Comedy Central roasts all the time. I never saw him do a roast, but I feel like he is prime. He is prime roast material. Like when you said that, you know, you heard him on Conan as well. He was just every other line he's interrupting him and undercutting him. And Conan even compared him, you know, to Martin Short in the way he's just like constantly berating him. But it's so smooth and quick. He's just such a fast thinker. I would love to see him in roast mode.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, I've come to appreciate, I'll always be in the Dennis Miller camp as far as SNL. Obviously, post SNL is a different story, but you know, he was my guy and I really enjoyed the way that he did it. But going back and seeing some of Kevin's stuff, you really come to appreciate it, I think, because it is, it's much more dry, straight to camera. I think he's almost playing it like an Uber Mr. Subliminal, right? Where he's, you know, he's got those one line dad jokes. He's dropping shit in, and it's not necessarily, you know, about the story so much as him kind of getting the punchline off. But I've really come to appreciate that over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. And well, honestly, I'd like to go back and watch more because I felt like I appreciated it at the time, but that was, I was just being introduced to SNL when I was seeing most of that Kevin Nealon Weekend Update stuff. Like to me, you know, when I first started watching, he was Weekend Update, you know? So it was kind of something that I accepted immediately. I mean, obviously, to me, Norm was insane. But listen, I'm just a fan of Weekend Update in general. I mean, I'm the guy who goes around defending Colin Quinn. Like people everyone wants to say he's the worst ever.
No, I'm with you.
I like Colin Quinn, and I like the fact that like he sounded like Colin Quinn up there. You know, Colin Quinn stumbles over his own words and like pauses and has awkward delivery and stuff. That's Colin Quinn, and I love how natural and like just in New York he is. I love Colin Quinn, but to me, Kevin Nealon was so polished, and especially being the first Weekend Update anchor that I was seeing regularly in all those, you know, reruns in about 97, 98. I liked how newsy he kept it. Like he kind of kept himself as a anchor type character. Like his character wasn't an SNL guy. His character was, we're here for the news, and then bang, great punchline.
Yeah. Yeah. And much almost a tribute to Chevy's Weekend Update, right?
It did feel like Chevy. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Much, much more about get the joke in, get out and move on. Yeah. I think he's unfairly maligned sometimes because he does come between two goats. I mean, he comes after Dennis and before Norm. And, you know, these are probably two of the three, you know, that we're talking about as greatest Weekend Update anchors of all time. I don't think that's fair to do that. I think, yeah, you have to look at his era.
Tough spot to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so after that, we do get not much from Kevin. His post SNL career, he does some Sandler movies, right? He's in Happy Gilmore,
right,
famously.
Of course.
Yep. Only appears on SNL once outside of the anniversary specials, the one that you alluded to, where he came back with Jimmy and Tina. But yeah, do you think his legacy as a cast member is hurt not coming back to the show for almost 25 years outside of anniversary specials?
Well, I think that it might hurt it more if we were having this conversation at a different time. But I think we're seeing a little bit of a Kevin Nealon resurgence now. Now, I loved him on Weeds, which I don't know when that came out. Maybe it was like 2005 or 2004 or something. Like, came out like slightly after I was out of high school. And I loved Weeds, but like, didn't, you're right. Like, wasn't seeing him doing you just didn't see him do much stuff. But you know, he's been making the rounds. We've been seeing him on a lot of shows. He's got these, Hiking with Kevin, which I love. And I feel like he's been touring a bunch. I haven't got my tickets yet. I'm hoping to see him, in a couple weeks here in Raleigh. So that's on my radar. I've had friends who've seen his stand up and said he's amazing, but I just feel like I've been seeing him a lot just in the world, particularly like in the last year. I don't know if he just decided to, you know, pay his, you know, people a little bit extra and say, hey, I'm ready for a second win. Like, get me back out there. But he is, he's been ramping up, and I think he's done a good job kind of building some recent legacy that, and listen, and I think particularly this day and age, we're a what have you done for me lately society. So if we're thinking about Kevin Nealon, we're talking about Kevin Nealon, then I think it's a different conversation than we would have had 5 years ago, you know? So I understand that, you know, it's not like he walked out the door like Chris Farley did and then made five hit movies or something and then, you know, perished. And so we all, you know, when people die young, we just have a tendency to do a thing, you know? And so we have, you know, the gift of still having Kevin Nealon around. I don't think of it as hurting his legacy with SNL, you know, even though he's not someone who was coming back all the time. Not everyone can be Tina Fey, you know, just getting invited back like four times a year or something.
Right.
I don't think Kevin's going to take over after Lauren or anything, but there's a lot. How many freaking cast members have there been? And there's really not that many that we see that are coming back a lot. I don't feel like he was, you know, completely like disowned in the way that maybe some folks, it feels like some folks have been. But so sorry to give a rambly answer, but
not at all, man.
I don't think it impacts his legacy on the show. I don't think so.
No, I agree with you. I think that's kind of a bad narrative that we've gotten into over the last few years, where, you know, people don't come back as much. I heard people talk about Sherry O'Terry the same way, and not everyone can come back and host. You know, that's not the way SNL is built. They're not going to have 15 alumni every year. You know, I mean, Dana Carvey was one of the biggest stars in the history of the show. He obviously came back all fall and was like almost a cast member again, but he's only hosted four times, and he's one of the biggest stars that SNL has ever produced. So I don't think that's necessarily fair. Now, I think we'll see him at the 50th. You know, 50th is coming right around the corner. I'm sure there'll be a Weekend Update tribute. And, you know, now, especially now that Norm's gone, you know, you don't have as many people to put out there and talk about the legacy of the thing that's lasted the longest on the show. So I think we'll see him again. And I don't think that hurts his case at all.
I think we'll definitely see him again, but I will say this to give, I think there's a valid part of the conversation, and you just did a good job kind of summing it up, you know, that there's only, you know, people just can't come back and do it all. It is just not how it works. So I don't hold that against people if they haven't been invited back 100 times. But if you are one of those people who's getting brought back constantly, that obviously does, I give you that credit toward your legacy, because you're a deeper part of the family story, you know? So like when we have these folks who get to come back again and again and again, yes, of course that does deepen their legacy, and it puts them on a special tier. I don't think, because 97% of folks don't get to do that, that I don't hold it against them. You know, I just think it's a very special kind of extra feather in your cap, or jewel in your crown at this level of institution. When you get to be a person like that.
Yeah, I mean, you have 166 cast members. Like, they're not all going to be on the same tier, but that does not mean the greatness is taken down at all. All right, so Haynes, you've made some great points here. Kind of make your final case for Kevin here to get into the SNL Hall of Fame.
I think there's a few things. One, we talk about his ability to do something that not a lot of other people could do, and plenty of people can deadpan, but just not quite like him. I think, you know, he was a Weekend Update anchor for several years, which is a very prominent role on the show. I mean, we obviously love the sketches, you know, we're talking SNL, we're super fans, but to be front and center like that every week is a hugely important part of the show. And I go back to that longevity. You know, you said the kids don't understand nowadays. We're living in the era of people being on for a decade. But back in the day, this was a huge accomplishment, and had obviously had a major impact on the show. No one else to that point was influencing the show in such a consistent, regular way. I mean, he got to do it for 9 years. You know, Eddie Murphy made you laugh harder, maybe, but he's got his little special thing, and then he's out. Kevin Nealon was there, stable, and just providing, you know, an even hand for this comedy institution for so long. I really think the fact that he was, you know, a major Weekend Update anchor, and the fact that he had that giant tenure, the first person to have a tenure of that size, you can't ignore the impact he had on the show. And it's not even saying 10 years now, because we're in the age of 10 years, but 10 years, you know, when the show was only going into, you know, coming out of the teen years, you know, getting to year 20 and stuff, like he's meat on the bone during those years, and then going into the early 20s and stuff. So we're talking about a show that, you know, if it's been around for 10 years, and this guy's been on, or 20 years, and this guy's been on for 9 of them, I don't think you can ignore that type of impact. And it's easy to forget when we're living in this age. We didn't grow up watching it every week, but that's a huge impact he had on the show. And I don't think we can ignore it. Hall of Famer. Easy vote.
So there's that. A Hall of Famer, Andrew says, with authority. Great conversation, Mr. Kenny, Mr. Haynes. That was really nice to hear you two together again. And I thought you made a lot of great points. I think Nealon is a Hall of Famer for sure. I don't know that he will be... Listen, I think he's going to be punished because this is the last season and he may not make it this year. But what we've done to hopefully satisfy that is we've opened up the voting and you're now allowed as many votes as you want with a minimum of 10. You have to vote for at least 10 and you can vote for up to as many as you want. So we're going to try and go out with a bang and get some people in. Kevin Nealon being one of those people. Let's go to his sketch right now. This is Hans and Franz. And I don't know, for me, I was, 12 or 13 when I saw this for the first time. And it blew my mind. I thought it was hysterical. And me and my friend would impersonate it. And I just loved it. It was my first Kevin Nealon character that I really, truly loved. I think Mr. Subliminal was fantastic, but I was probably, I wasn't too young. Hot Sex was funny to me. Yeah. So I guess that was the first character I liked. So there's that. Let's go to the sketch now.
Good evening and welcome again to Pumping Up with Hans and Franz, the informative training program for the serious weightlifter.
All right, welcome. We're back. All right. Once again, I am Hans.
Yeah, and I am Franz, and we are here to pop you up.
That's right. That's right.
You know, let me tell you something. Many of you are wondering where have we been.
Yeah, that's right. We spent most of the summer in movie theaters intensely screening the year's most important cultural event.
Terminator 2. Yeah, that's right. Starring the world's most popular movie star.
Yeah, who just happens to be our cousin. Perhaps you've heard of him.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. All right.
All right.
After crossing the movie industry, Cousin Arnold went on a 50-state tour sponsored by President Bush.
That's right. You know, and as you know, Cousin Arnold was put in charge of the President's Council on Physical Pompitude.
Yeah, that's right. No better person. Arnold's dream is to create a flabless utopia. But alas, the girly man is a formidable opponent.
That's right. But hear me now and believe me later. We can easily crush girly men like grapes.
That's right. And make a nice dry white wine.
Sauvignon girly. That's right. Yeah. You know, and if we were ever a wine, we'd be Ripple.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, nice Ripple.
That's right.
So, you know, we followed Arnold from state to state to lend a helping muscle.
Yeah, take a look at this.
Yeah.
The next exercise is for the upper body to get really strong. Some push-ups, okay? Now, for that, I'm going to have my cousins come out and show you how to do it the proper way, okay? Come on, Hans and Franz.
Yeah.
Here they are.
How are you?
Hi, how are you? Yeah, all good to see you again. Yeah. Okay, guys, go ahead with the program. Show them now. Come on.
Okay, cousin Arnold, you know, but first I'd like to say, kids, do not be alarmed by our stunning musculature.
Yeah, we know your tiny children brains can't possibly comprehend a muscle so large, an arm so strong, a buttock so firm.
Yeah, we know you're traumatized right now from the sight of us, but believe me, our muscles do not bite.
That's right, we put on our weight belt the same way you do.
Okay, guys, you're not scaring anybody, okay? So let's go back. Let's go back to the exercising. That's what we're doing here.
I get it. Child psychology.
Cousin Arnold. That's right.
It's very important to know how to properly flex.
Yeah, let's go over some simple poses like this.
Come on, try it.
Yeah,
try it.
That's good. Yeah, flex.
No, guys, flex. Hold on. There are more important things than posing.
That's right. Before you pose, it's very important to properly oil your body.
Yeah, that's right, so that you can accent your cuts and your muscle definition.
Yeah.
Fellas, come on. We have to learn here about how to exercise.
Yeah, cousin, it's all good to exercise, but sooner or later, they're going to have to learn how to compete.
That's right. Okay, now before you oil up, it's very important to shave all your body hair.
Yeah, that's right. We are completely hairless, believe me.
No. Listen, guys, this is not about competition. It's about exercising. Listen, fellas, hear me now and believe me later. What you're doing here is you're putting the carriage in front of the horse. That's not what we want to do. And if you continue on this way, I'm going to twist your flap into the shape of a pacifier. And I'm going to have you suck on it until you poop in your diapers. Huh? How about that?
Listen, we're sorry, cousin.
We're sorry.
Yeah, you're sure sorry. I mean, you're real losers. You guys are the losers. I mean, you're wastes.
Yeah, all right. But can now, please, cousin Arnold, can we please do the finale?
Please?
Please?
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, cousin Arnold.
All right. Pectorals were just dancing the night away.
That's right. All right, kids, one more lesson. These are your muscles.
Yeah, and these are your muscles on steroids. Yeah.
Any questions?
All right.
Until next time, he is Hans.
And he is Franz.
And we just want to pop
you up. Oh,
man.
Pumping Up with Hans and Franz.
I didn't want to step on Phil Hartman there. That was a shitty thing of me to do. But what a great premise. A lot of fun with those two. This was in the height of the reoccurring character era, and they were on a number of times. Next week's guest would be able to tell us exactly how many times they've been on, because we are going to be joined by the grand poobah of the SNN, and that is, of course, John Schneider. He will be weighing in on the careers of Bonnie and Terry Turner, writers for SNL, writers for Mike Myers and Wayne's World, that 70s show, that 80s show, that 90s show. Who knows what they're going to come out with next. So there's that. That's what I've got for you this week. I hope you enjoyed yourself. Next week, again, we're talking Bonnie and Terry Turner with John Schneider. On behalf of Mr. Kenny, Mr. Ardill, and myself, JD, do me a favor, and on your way out, as you walk past the Weekend Update exhibit, turn out the lights, because the SNL Hall of Fame is now closed.
Thanks for listening to the SNL Hall of Fame podcast. Make sure to rate, review, share, and subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on social media at SNLHOF. This is Kirk Lane saying, see you next week.
Podcasts and such.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.